over the weekend, you were impressed. I was impressed. Max, Stephen A., Doris Burke, everybody was impressed with LeBron and the Lakers. Well, not quite everybody. One person with the Clippers, not impressed at all. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We've been asking you to hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line after the big weekend for the Lakers, for LeBron, who should be the favorites to win it all in the NBA, and why. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. If you tweet me, tell me who, tell me why, tell me with some passion. We'll read the best ones on air. So we want to know who should be the favorites to win it all. In the meantime, let's get to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. See, we're all impressed. LeBron goes off against the Bucks, goes off against the Clippers. They get two huge wins, one over the presumptive NBA Finals matchup, and then the other over the presumptive Western Conference Finals matchup. All of this big glory. LeBron looks great. Well, not to everybody. Patrick Beverly, not all that impressed.
Can you describe the challenge it is defensively when LeBron...
No challenge.
But particularly the end of the game...
No challenge.
Can you describe what it's like as a defender to when he tries to force the switches?
Not hard at all.
I mean, it's not hard at all, but LeBron had some pretty substantial success in the fourth quarter. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to troll Patrick Beverly, I'm just saying... It may not have been hard, but it sure looked difficult. In the meantime, ESPN basketball analyst Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to break down what they think of Patrick Beverly's comments.
No, I thought it was incredibly ignorant and incorrect. I like it, though. But, I mean, he's not being honest. You can't sit up there and say there's no challenge to guard LeBron James. You just can't. And I love Patrick Beverly. I've known him for years, and I'm telling you right now, he could be on any team of mine any day of the week. But that's just an ignorant thing to say, that it's not tough to guard LeBron James. I will say this, though, Max Kellerman. It's a little bit different covering Kevin Durant. You do understand that. That sniper, that marksman right there, I mean, it's a little bit different covering Kevin Durant. But here's the thing. When it comes to Patrick Beverly, the effect that he might have had on Kevin Durant those first two games of their first round playoff series, Patrick Beverly is in your face. He's a nuisance. He's physical. That physicality ain't going to work against LeBron James, who walks around at 250, 260. It's a different animal for somebody the likes of Patrick Beverly. Now, Patrick Beverly might be making this case. If you saw it, whether it was Paul George, whether it was Kawhi Leonard, Jay, no matter who was on LeBron James, there was always somebody spying, looking to help the second he put the ball on the floor. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's somebody covering him one-on-one, Patrick Beverly. It's not like you guard him straight up and like he ain't difficult. Stop it.
Well, hold on. First of all,
stop it.
In this day and age with these rules in the NBA, you want a dude my height, 5'11" dude to cover a 6'8" dude one-on-one. It's never going to go well for the defender over the long run. That said, I love this from Patrick Beverly. Understand, Patrick Beverly's a little off his rocker. That's why he's able to be such a valuable player in the NBA. He's not the most athletic dude. He's short. He's not even like the most brolic dude to be defending big guys. What he has is belief in himself and attitude. I was in the Rockets locker room. I guess it was last year at some point. Maybe it was earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Beverly starts flipping on me about something. I'm like, hold on. What are you talking about? He needs a chip on his shoulder. That's why. And you always, like, teams need a guy like that, right? And then the question is, can they walk the line? Like, LeBron coaxed a technical foul out of Draymond. When you say they gave the Cavs a stimulus package that year against the Warriors 2016, I don't think that's a stimulus package. LeBron knew, ooh, one more tech and he's in trouble. So we goaded him into it, and Draymond, who's like one of these Patrick Beverly types, what side of the line is he going to walk? He crossed the line. Dennis Rodman was like that, right? Patrick Beverly is a little tenacious defender just like that, who can also hit a big shot. I love this.
I love P. Bev. He's never been on his rocker. That's the problem.
That's right.
He plays that way, psychological warfare. What we saw, and I want to make sure that fans recognize this, what we saw in the first three games between these teams will not be the same defensive schemes that we will see in the playoffs. I think you'll see a lot more blitzing off ball screens with LeBron James, try to get the ball out of his hands, try to force other players to make plays. But if you notice something yesterday, is that every time Kawhi Leonard was guarding LeBron, whoever Patrick Beverly was guarding, LeBron was saying, come here, come set a screen, switch. Hey, Lou Will, are you guarding Danny Green? Come here, Danny Green.
Are you saying that's an aberration come playoff time?
I'm just saying that they're going to blitz it. They're going to blitz that. They're not going to let him. They're not going to let Patrick Beverly guard LeBron James 1-on-1, nor Lou Will. You saw LeBron James did the whole last 4 minutes of the game last night. So what I'm saying is that Patrick Beverly is one thing to say that, but he never wants to be on an island by himself trying to guard LeBron James.
No one does.
He cannot. You have to guard him by committee.
Of course.
And what they did last night, they exposed that. But that's not what we'll see during playoff time.
Well, I will tell you what I think we will see come playoff time. We saw LeBron James, particularly a couple of years ago when he ran through the Eastern Conference. His brilliance wasn't even in just the shot making. It was him creating the mismatches. He has the ball in his hands. And when you speak to opposing coaches about him, what they can't seem to conquer is his brilliance in creating the mismatches, forcing different guys to get on him.
That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. First Take, your take. On ESPN Radio and ESPN News, I'm Jason Fitz. Jay Williams making a really smart point there as you look back at what we saw yesterday between the Clippers and Lakers. Let's also remember, yes, Patrick Beverly not likely to be in some of those situations in a playoff series. But this was also sort of a get-out-of-jail-free card attempt at being able to look at each other, try some different things, and try some things in the matchup. I do believe every time we see the Clippers play the Lakers right now, there's a little bit of it that is about the one game, but there's a lot of it that's about figuring out what will work if they face each other in the playoffs, as we all expect. Everything feels like it's a little bit of a trial period so that they know the right approach when they get into a seven-game series. And I'll say again, I don't know what you possibly saw yesterday that changes your mentality on depth. If depth is the difference between these two teams, I'm not sure why anything you saw yesterday changes your mind one way or the other on where you are in Lakers versus Clippers. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's home quote explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Who doesn't want that? Learn more at progressive.com. I'm trying to learn from you guys. Huge weekend for LeBron and the Lakers. So now that they do beat the Bucks and the Clippers, who should be the favorite to win it all? You've heard some of First Take. I want some of your take. Jason in Montana, give me your take on what you're seeing right now from LeBron and the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, man. After watching the games this weekend, it was just I loved seeing that pick and roll that LeBron was doing against the Bucks. He was kind of shedding off that defender. They were getting behind him, and he was just making his choice on how he wanted to score. Excited going into the second half of the season. I think that LeBron's going to turn that intensity on late, and I don't know. Have no fear, man. He's going to bring it home, and, you know, the Kobe spirit's going to come around in the playoffs. Let's get it done.
Wow, and the Kobe spirit coming around in the playoff is going to be an interesting next level for everybody as the pressure continues to build and trying to figure out what it looks like. John in Louisville, give me your take on what you're seeing from LeBron and the Lakers. What do you got?
So, I mean, I think, first of all, because I'm a big fan, the fact that he's been deep in the postseason for the past 10 years, playing a full extra month, that this is going to be the first time in a long time that LeBron's had a full offseason to rest. And I think he's going to be ready to step it up to another level that we've seen him do before when it comes playoff time.
Well, and I love that. I think there's a lot that makes sense there. Johnny on Twitter says, the Lakers will win the championship because the best 1-2 punch with LeBron and AD. That's fine, but he makes a really smart point here. Plus, the bench scored 36 in the third with LeBron on the bench. With support like that, they're unbeatable and will get even better closer to the playoffs. That is true. I just said the one thing we've questioned about the Lakers versus Clippers is depth. And now what did you see? You saw the depth come through. Also, Sway calls me out and said, did you just refer to Pat Beverly as an NBA superstar? He's an above-average defender, but stating he's a superstar is a bit of a stretch. Hey, I'm in the sales business here. I'm keeping you interested. Come on now. I'm not gonna question Pat Beverly. I'm just saying. All right, it's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys, I want to keep getting your take after the weekend. Who should be the favorites to win it all and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, while we load up to get more of your take on Twitter and the lines. Obviously, everybody was talking this weekend about the Nets parting ways with head coach Kenny Atkinson's on Saturday. According to SNY, some Nets players felt Atkinson lost the locker room recently. Yahoo Sports added later on Saturday that Kyrie Irving prefers Tyronn Lue as the replacement for Atkinson. So this has been a contentious conversation already. Nets center DeAndre Jordan had some strong comments about the stories surrounding the coach and the team.
What's your take on it, especially since everybody knows that you're close to Kyrie and Kenny?
Yeah, I'm close to Kyrie, but, you know, Wilson's a new player. Garrett Temple's a new player, you know, so.
None of them carry the same type of weight, though. You know that.
We're all new players. So if you go say new players, put it on all eight of the new players.
Okay, so then there's been some...
But I think whatever you're saying and whatever the reports are bull****, so.
Well, and that's a hot... He's not mincing any words there as he sort of reacts to it. Now, the question is, and NBA basketball analyst Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A., what is going on with the Nets right now?
Let's be very, very clear. I genuinely like DeAndre Jordan, okay? Haven't spoken to him in a while. I haven't seen him. I like DeAndre Jordan.
Nice guy.
I respect the hell out of him. Really, really nice guy. He's not ignorant at all. But that was an ignorant statement he made. To sit up there and they ask you about Kyrie and Kevin Durant and you give us Garrett Temple? Seriously? Seriously? I mean, sometimes guys need to understand that there are certain things that just disqualify you from saying anything else because you insult the intelligence of the common person. They asked you about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and you said Garrett Temple. Mm. Think about that, DeAndre Jordan. Now, I could say stay off, but I won't do it. Okay? I'm just going to say think about what the hell you just said. Now, let me get to the bigger point here. Did KD and Kyrie get the coach fired? No. That didn't happen. Kenny Atkinson had some question marks. Now, I can tell you this. Those guys are both champions. They know basketball. They know an elite coach when they see one, and neither of them thought that way about him. I don't give a damn what they say. Okay, I can tell you that. Does that mean they went to management and like, we need something new? No. But when you've got two stars, and really KD is that dude, they respect the hell out of Kyrie Irving because he's a nasty talent, but we know who this franchise belongs to. It belongs to Kevin Durant. Okay? So to sit up there and to act like it's not about him going and saying, I want somebody gone, or Kyrie saying, I want somebody gone. But if they're not raving euphorically about somebody, it speaks for itself. And nobody was doing that about Kenny Atkinson. You just felt like, yo, we respect him. We like him as a person, whatever. But are there better coaches that we can have for our situation moving forward? I know he heard it. I know I heard it. And that's what we disseminated over the national airwaves last week. Having said that, I'm going to close by saying this. There's only three candidates for this job as far as I'm concerned.
They're all named Ty Lue.
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue and
one
Ty
of them.
Lue.
One of them. And it's not because of Kyrie Irving. Because, listen, everything wasn't ideal when Kyrie. Remember, Kyrie was willing to leave Cleveland when Ty was coaching there. Let's be clear about that. But we all respect the hell out of Ty Lue. He's a champion, and we should respect him and treat him because he's a damn good coach. And he deserves a head coaching job. But Ty Lue, Mark Jackson, all right? Or if Sean Marks could get the one and only Greg Popovich to leave San Antonio.
Oof.
Those are the three, and not necessarily in that order.
The last one's a bombshell. Hold on. We're rewinding that last one.
Yeah, yeah.
Pardon me, Stephen A. Smith. Would you mind repeating that? Because you're not pulling that out of thin air.
I'm just saying if Sean Marks was somehow able to convince Greg Popovich to come to Brooklyn, because you got to remember, Greg Popovich, you're seeing Tim Duncan. You got Becky Hammon, you got these folks on his bench, all right, that he wants to elevate. I'm not saying anything other than Sean Marks, closely associated with Greg Popovich. If you could get the great Greg Popovich to come to Brooklyn, well, then that's a deal. I mean, that's a big time move right there.
I mean,
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
The excitement you feel just by mentioning that.
I'm saying if I was Sean Marks, Max, I would certainly try.
Don't bring Greg Popovich to Brooklyn to be with
Katie. How do you think Popovich and Kyrie would combine? That'd be interesting to see.
Popovich would make him the best possible player he could be. Or he'd be gone.
And you'd get assets for him.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Saying if Sean Marks could bring Greg Popovich to the Nets is a little like your buddy asking, hey, can we get into the hottest nightclub in New York? Yeah, if I can get Jay-Z to walk us in, it's going to be perfect. So I'm just going to go with that. Jay-Z, walk me into the club. That's all I'm asking for. If we're just going to start throwing out scenarios, I think I'm going to go big. Let's just go big. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. I do like the Becky Hammon part of that conversation, though. I think Becky Hammon's a rising star. She has gotten some shine. They are trying to give her some more attention there. That name makes some sense to me. Pop moving over to the Nets now. I just don't see it happening. In the meantime, we're asking you, a big weekend for LeBron and the Lakers. Who should be the favorite to win it all in the NBA and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Alfred in Miami, what do you got? Who should be the favorite and why?
Well, let me preface this by saying that I think LeBron and AD will be holding up the trophy when it's all said and done. But I think it's about what you alluded to earlier, which is depth. And I think the Clippers' depth is a given. I mean, it's there, it's proven. But the Lakers has been sort of sporadic, meaning what I mean by that is it's a different guy stepping up in these big games. And they're going to need it's supposed to be Kuzma, but whether it's Kuzma or Bradley, they're going to need somebody to do that consistently. They got to get a consistent third man or, you know, maybe they won't be holding the trophy.
Well, and I'd really agree with that. And I'll say loudly, I thought Kuzma was going to be a star for the Lakers this year. I thought he was going to rise into the third piece role and be such a megastar that it would really catapult the Lakers. The fact that they've won the way they've won without Kuzma taking that next step forward, I think is actually all the more impressive to what they're doing. On Twitter, we're getting a lot of different opinions. Derek comes in, says, super biased as a Canadian, but I'm true to my word. The Toronto Raptors still do not get enough respect as contenders. Everyone on this team has a championship mentality. Have you seen the play of Norman Powell? Woo! Hashtag We the North. So that's a good, I like that, you know, going all in on the hashtag We the North. Also getting a few different votes still for the Bucks, which I'm a little torn on. I'm a little torn on after this weekend getting that sort of love for the Bucks coming in. One take that just this no. Too fast says people seem to be forgetting LeBron can sit out a playoff game versus a bad team if Davis is playing at an elite level and get even more rest. Just stop. All right, I don't care if the Lakers are manhandling Memphis in the first round. The chances that LeBron sits out a playoff game for load management, that would be the moment that the NBA would absolutely erupt. Preston in Florida, who do you have? Give me your thoughts after this weekend. Who should be the favorites to win it all and why?
Hey, what's going on, man? I got to go with the Lakers. The Lakers 100%. You got AD and LeBron up top playing, you know, against the two-headed monster. That's the Clippers. And if you're going against the Clippers in the Western Conference final and you get over them, you're going to have to go against Giannis in the finals, in my opinion. And Giannis has never been to the finals. He has no experience against LeBron and AD, who's very versatile, who could hit the three and do it all. So if they get past the Clippers, I got to go with the Lakers all the way. And then you got, I mean, LeBron's not going to want to lose for Kobe this year. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's such a huge part of it. The LeBron, the way LeBron has handled the Kobe thing. It is a fair point, too. I think the real expectation is for Giannis to get to the NBA finals, right? The Bucks are expected to get to the finals. Are you really going to fault the Bucks and Giannis if they lose to a stacked LA team? Either of those stacked LA teams. No. The Bucks will look at it and say, oh, we're almost there. We're one step closer. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens at all. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz after the weekend for LeBron and the Lakers. Who should be the favorites to win it all and why? We'll get your thoughts on that. Plus, what needs to happen for the Patriots to actually keep Tom Brady? The deadline's closer. You'll hear what First Take had to say. But first, it's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as the big carriers, but this is important for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. There's no contract, full-court coverage, and it's half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We'll get more straight talk on what the Patriots need to do to keep Brady from First Take next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. NFL free agency inches even closer, which means yet another daily update on all things Tom Brady. That's the way things work. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, we'll get back to some NBA talk with LeBron and the Lakers and what it means. We'll keep taking some of your take on the Shell Benzo performance line as we ask you after a huge weekend for LeBron and the Lakers, who do you have now as your NBA favorites? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet us at Jason Fitz as we continue to have that conversation. But in the meantime, there's another conversation that we've been having, and it's about Tom Brady. It's another day, which means we need to have another conversation about Brady. In fact, if you haven't listened to the Daily yet today, great deep dive on Tom Brady. Tune in to the ESPN Daily podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Shamelessly, I got to host it today, hung out with Bill Barnwell. So Bill and I went deep into all things that you need to know about Brady and what it could mean moving forward. Now, in the meantime, Charlie Weiss, the former offensive coordinator of the Patriots that worked with Tom Brady, was on Golic and Wingo and had plenty to say about his former quarterback when he said this.
He texted back, he goes, "Look, it. No one knows anything." He goes, "Tell him that if I don't know, how is anyone else going to know?" He has not made a decision. I don't know if the Patriots made a decision, but I can tell you that the people in the know certainly are not talking. I don't think he's enjoying the process at all. You know, that's not his way. He's a very business-like, attention for detail guy. I mean, if he had his brothers, this would already be a slam dunk lock over with. The only thing that's really important to Tommy is competing for a ring. That's what's really important to him.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. There's a lot to sort of get into there with Charlie Weiss saying, hey, he doesn't enjoy this process and he only cares about competing for rings. So at this point, if you look at that, you're going to ask yourself, well, how do the Patriots make that happen? How can they keep Brady there? ESPN NFL analyst Keyshawn Johnson joined Max and Stephen A. to debate it.
From what I've been told by a multitude of people, the report is absolutely positively right. Robert Kraft can step in to close the deal and get Tom Brady to stay, but only if Bill Belichick is somebody that is willing to go. And I don't want to go as far as saying kiss the ring per se, but that friction that exists between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick is real. And it's not real from the perspective of, no, we dislike each other, whatever the case may be. Bill Belichick is perceived throughout NFL circles as being somebody with a very, very high IQ and a very, very low EQ. He's not the most personable dude in the world. He's not the kind of guy that
like
will go
that.
To
high
you.
High IQ, low EQ. Yeah.
He's not the kind of guy that can go to you and is like, I love you, I value you, I appreciate you, please stay. We love you. We want you to be here. That ain't Bill Belichick. And because he severely lacks those interpersonal skills to ingratiate himself with another human being, even if it's a quarterback that's taken them to 9 Super Bowls and won 6 Super Bowl titles for him, because he can't do that, it's virtually impossible for Mr. Kraft or anybody else to step in without Bill Belichick doing it. And the thing about Tom Brady is that for really the first time in his career, he's pretty much demanding that from what I'm being told. He's demanding that, wait a minute, enough of all of this. This man needs to come here and convince me that he wants me to be here. I don't need to be here anymore if he doesn't want me here. And that is what Tom Brady is looking for from Bill Belichick. That is what the Patriots are looking for from Bill Belichick. So it comes down to, from what I'm told, Bill Belichick going to Tom Brady and saying, I really want you to stay. That's all it would take. But it's a very, very, very big ask for somebody whose interpersonal skills are as challenged as Bill Belichick.
On the one hand, I don't blame Tom Brady for that. And I trust your sources. On the one hand, I don't blame Tom Brady for that. I think of two other players in their sports who played for the heritage franchise, and Brady and Belichick have turned the Patriots into a heritage franchise. I think of Derek Jeter and Kobe Bryant, who wanted to retire in that uniform, who were not the players they once were, but who said, you know what, I'm Derek Jeter, I'm Kobe Bryant. I want that last deal, I want to go out. And ownership and fans got behind it and said, okay, even if it means we're not going to make the playoffs, keep that guy. Brady hasn't had his last deal, so I get that. On the other hand, Belichick really does need Brady now more than he would have to, because when Belichick wanted to groom Garoppolo to take over, Brady did an end around, according to reports, went to Kraft and got Garoppolo shipped out of town. So now the cupboard's bare for Belichick, and he's in more of a position to have to go hat in hand to Brady and explain this. And I guess this is what bothers me about it. It's not that Brady hasn't earned it. And if the Patriots fan base is like, you know what, whether or not it means we win the Super Bowl, 9 Super Bowls and 6 Super Bowl wins, you know, he's earned it. What bothers me about it is the Patriot way, which is really the Belichick way, was always good enough for Tom Brady. It was always fine. There was never any issue until it came for him, until he became the older guy with more limited horizons and there was a young guy and a cheaper guy to take his place. Then all of a sudden, the Patriot way, not as much for him. And now he's put his thumb on the scales getting Garoppolo shipped out of town, where Belichick may have to do it unless Belichick can swing a deal for a better quarterback. So it's not that Brady hasn't earned it, but that's my read of what's going on if what you're hearing is true, Stephen A., and I have no reason to think it's not.
Keyshawn, where are you on this?
Well, I think the one thing when you talk about the relationship, we really don't know what relationship Belichick has with Brady. The only thing I can tell you is this is Tom's first time in 20 years to be able to go out and speak to other organizations. And that means that the last time he did this was at the combine. So when you look at what they're trying to do, they're simply saying, let free agency take place. He could talk to teams. We know what the deal is. We're going to try to address some concerns, which is the tight end position and receiver position. They've got to either address it in free agency or the draft and show Tom Brady that they want to make sure that they're putting things around him for him to be successful. I understand the argument. I understand people saying, oh, Belichick takes all the credit. He doesn't give Brady any love at all. Yeah, that may be true. But most head coaches in the National Football League do not embrace their players until those players are gone.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. I want to go back to what Charlie Weiss said, and you heard it earlier when he said two important things. It's all about championships, and Brady's not enjoying any of this process. Well, I would say two important things to that. Number one, you have to look at the championship side of it and remember that as you're trying to decide where you personally think Brady is going to sign, because there are a lot of places we've heard that he's not going to be on a championship knockout team. I mean, if you think that going to the Chargers or the Raiders puts him in a championship caliber conversation, I don't agree with that. So that has to play into part of it. But the other part, to imply that he doesn't actually love this process, that he hates it, he just wants to focus on what's next, well, let's remember that wherever we are in this process, when it comes to talking about it, if he really hates all of the conversation about the process, he could end the conversation by speaking. We're speaking for Brady because Brady isn't speaking to anybody. So if he really hated the process, it would be as simple as him coming out explaining where he is right now, and it would end all of the conjecture about where it's going. I'm just saying, let's put part of this at Tom Brady's feet. Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio. We're going to keep taking your thoughts, your take, after a huge weekend for LeBron and the Lakers. Who should be the favorites to win the entire NBA championship and why? You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take more of your take. Plus, what are the chances that LeBron can catch Giannis for the MVP? You'll hear what they thought on First Take next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. Huge weekend for LeBron and the Lakers. Who should be the favorites now to win it all? You can chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also get to me at Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of today's show, don't worry. You can go check it out on demand at the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. Now, we had a massive weekend for LeBron, massive weekend for the Lakers. There's two separate conversations here. You know, what's it mean for LeBron? What's it mean for the Lakers? But not just LeBron being the best in the world right now. The next question, and it's an obvious one here, what chance does LeBron have of actually catching Giannis Antetokounmpo as the MVP? So ESPN basketball analyst Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to break down the MVP race.
As a basketball nation, we are religiously unfair to LeBron James. Myself included.
Preach.
Myself included. This dude is on the Mount Rushmore basketball, one of the top three players in the history of basketball. He deserves our credit, and we will miss him when he is gone. But we need to understand why we're so unfair to him. Because we're measuring him against nothing else other than Mount Rushmore status. That's what LeBron James and his camp do not get. We are not even talking about him in the modern era. We're talking about Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the Bill Russells of the world. We are talking about the Mount Rushmore of basketball. And the reason why we come across as so unfair is because what, not just what we saw from them, but what was demanded of them before they went away into the twilight and we were able to just sit back and soak up the greatness that they blessed us with for so many years. We held them to a certain standard, and those individuals, even though they never publicly admit it, are the ones that reach out to people like me, you, and others and say, quote, don't lighten up the standard. Make sure you hold them to the same thing you put us through. That is why it comes across as unfair, because old school folks that Joe Public don't pay attention to that are there constantly remind people like me, Stephen A., they held us to this standard.
No,
give it to him too.
There's never going to be another LeBron in terms of the longevity and the height he attained and the way he maintained it. But I'll say this. He got four MVPs. He should have at least eight, right?
I agree.
Jordan probably should have had 10. But the point about LeBron is this. It's not that he stopped getting MVPs because of the East-West thing. It was mainly because people got sick and tired of giving the same guy MVP all the time. And guys like KD started putting up better regular season numbers.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're having an MVP conversation. I think we're talking about the wrong game. I mean, if you want to talk about an indication of MVP, look no further than 2 days after the Bucks played the Lakers. What happened? Not to the Lakers, but to the other team in that matchup. No Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks got beat by the Suns. By the Suns. How do we define most valuable player? Remember, the edict is not best player in the NBA. It's most valuable. And the problem with most valuable is it leaves some variable of discussion, trying to figure out exactly where we all lie on what creates value. Well, I would say value added is the fact that without your superstar, you'll lose by 9 to the Suns. That's got to mean something. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Big weekend for LeBron and the Lakers. Now, who should be the favorite? Bracey in Indiana. Bracey, who you got as the favorite now? What's your take?
Yes, my good friend. I have the Los Angeles Lakers as the team to win the 2020 NBA Finals.
Okay, why?
Because they have, from the get, from the start of the season, they were showing peaks of going all the way to capture it all, and they would do very well in some games, and some games they'd be a little bit lackadaisical, but they would come back and start a big road win. And then they had the policy. I remember one time they was talking to AD, and he's saying, we are the team that does not believe in losing back-to-back games. And so they went a good while yet, and they done good. And one time they lost back-to-back games, but that all that did was infuse them. They went on another winning streak. And so they are peaking at the right time because they have a goal in mind, and that is to win the NBA Finals. And with Kobe Bryant's great gratitude and leadership that he gave to the team and LeBron, it has infused them that even though he's not here physically, he'll be there spiritually. And they're determined to go all the way and prove it to themselves that they are the team that rightfully deserves the win.
Bracey, I don't disagree with so much of that when it comes to the impact that that Kobe will have on whatever the conversation is going into the playoffs. Going into the playoffs is a key phrase here, and I don't say it flippantly. if there's anything that happened over the weekend, I doubt many people's minds changed about the Lakers. And, you know, that I doubt that much changed there. I don't doubt that a lot changed with the Bucks. You know, and like I just said, the Bucks go into Sunday's game without Giannis because of a knee injury. That shows something about his MVP level, right? But there are still question marks about Giannis. There are question marks about Giannis because, frankly, we remember him being shut down last year. He was shut down by Kawhi, and all of a sudden the conversation becomes, oh, Giannis can't get it done. When you walk into any conversation with a bias leaning one way or the other, when you see evidence that leads to your bias, it becomes your conclusion, right? I mean, when you think about walking into the Bucks Lakers, if you came into that saying, oh, Giannis has still got so much to prove, you walk away from it saying, see, told you the Bucks can't get it done. They're built on it. It's a house of cards. It's all fake, right? That's the way you're going to take it. Realistically, there's one thing that I think we can all acknowledge. We've been selling the Lakers short for the majority of the season. We've been saying that they needed to acquire players. We've been saying they need more depth. We've been saying they need to figure out a third scoring option. We've been saying they need better point guard play. You can assign whatever thing that we've made the weak topic of the week of why the Lakers can't get it done. What the Lakers continue to do is get it done. Now, frankly, then you have to ask yourself, what does any of that mean for the playoffs? If you believe that the one game is such a key sign that it shows you the Bucks can't compete in the playoffs, I'll ask you this. What do you think about the other game? That's the one I think we all have our eyes on, the Clippers-Lakers matchup, because we keep saying the Clippers will be a different team during playoff basketball because of their depth and their ability to turn on to the next gear. At what point do we have to acknowledge that the Clippers may be a different team, but the Lakers can be the same team they are right now, not even need that extra gear, and still win an NBA championship? That's what we were reminded of this weekend. Coming up next, the Will Cain Show. Did we learn anything about LeBron and the Lakers that we didn't already know? Hear what Will has to say. Have a great day. Thanks for hanging out.